Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome to hour number three. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their squad. If you'd like to be a part and want more information, go to the website, gogginkole.com. Coming up at 6:35, Steve Eubanks. We'll take on a few subjects with Steve, best-selling author, veteran sports columnist. We'll be talking golf, college football, and more. 30-plus books to his credit, including the last two with Arnold Palmer. Yeah, that's how important Steve Eubanks is. A great friend, somebody who I've admired his work for years, and no better person, too, to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs since he's a Georgia grad. After that loss last week to South Carolina, what can we expect from the Bulldogs moving forward? Last time they suffered a disappointing loss, remember, they lost to Auburn back in 2017, and were able to respond, win the SEC title, and they had a lead in overtime against Alabama in the national title game before losing. So we'll see if they can have a similar situation happen to them this year. Right now, a chance to talk week 7 of the NFL. Alan Bell joins us with CBS Sportsline. First of all, Alan, as always, we appreciate you, and welcome back to the show.
Johnny, I appreciate you, buddy. Now, I hate to let you down. I have zero books to my name, and I never met Arnold Palmer either. So I can't live up to Steve. He's a legend, man.
All right, you can get your crayons out, put together a few pages there, and say, hey, this is my interpretation of how Week 7 played out, and I will get a progress report from you coming up on Monday's show.
I like it. There we go. Got to start somewhere, right?
Hey, you know, first things first. It's baby. No pun intended here, but with crayons, it's baby steps. All right, baby steps.
Yep.
All right.
I'm with it, man.
Let's just start with the big elephant in the room. No, not Alabama. The fact that the Titans 2-4 taking on the Chargers 2-4. I still go over this stat because things change. Teams go up and down. Remember, it's a league built on parity, right? So if that's the case, how come since 1998, whether you're talking Tennessee Oilers, which lost, by the way, their very first game as far as a regular season contest, to the San Diego Chargers and Ryan Leaf back in 98 at Vanderbilt Stadium, or the Tennessee Titans, how can the Chargers have a 10-1 record against the Tennessee Oilers / Titans?
I know, it's crazy, right? I mean, I think every team kind of has that, like, bugaboo, so to say. Like,
the Titans have more than that. We can throw Indianapolis Colts out there, too, all right? So if you really want to start talking about it from that perspective.
Yeah, I wasn't going to depress the fan base with it. No, I mean, look at the Patriots. They lose to the Dolphins seemingly every year, you know what I mean?
And the Jets on Monday night. Jets with Sam Darnold, fresh off mono. Just wait. Dallas one week, Patriots another one Monday night.
Well played. I like the way you go. I think it's just that. Now, I'll say this. The Chargers have been good. They've been good for a while. Like, you go back to what? Marty Schottenheimer. You know, I think they let him go, and he was, what, 13-3 that year. You know what I mean? So it's not like the Titans are losing to a bad team. But still, when you see a stat like that, it catches your attention.
You mean like a Titans team that went 10-7, beat Kansas City in the first round of a playoff, and they fire their coach? I mean, that kind of same situation?
Yeah,
because you wanted to go from above average to great, and we're still waiting. At this point, we'll take good. You know, we'll take good right now.
Well, you know what? The Chargers still waiting on that Super Bowl appearance as well. So, you know, that's sometimes how it goes, man.
Well, I wonder if the LA fans even know that, because based on the fact that they don't seem to support them in a soccer stadium, it makes you wonder. And certainly San Diego has given up on the Chargers as well.
Man, that was just such a dumb move, because, like, you had the Chargers in San Diego forever, which is, by the way, a perfect place for them to be. But San Diego and Los Angeles, like, they're rival cities. Like, they don't like each other. So you've got the Chargers who, you know, anger a fan base in San Diego, so they're out. Then they go to a place where they're hated, so those people are out. It's just a dumb move. They should have gone to Las Vegas. Like, that was the move. You don't go to Los Angeles. Just another Dean Spanos move, man. They just don't seem to make very smart decisions.
Well, I go back to remember when they were talking about this move, and Philip Rivers did not want to move his family to Los Angeles, so that all that speculation was out there that, you know, who knows? Maybe Philip Rivers could come to Nashville and be the franchise quarterback right here. Going back to when that was a possibility, if you had a chance for the do-over, what would Philip Rivers look like last year and this year in a uniform? Because last time I checked, he doesn't really miss games. So with that said, what would Philip Rivers mean, and what would the Titans have? What would have occurred with them if he had been in a Titans uniform?
They'd be a playoff team. I tell you that. Like, especially if Philip Rivers had, you know, a team like the Titans, especially that defense and a running game like that. Shoot, man, Philip Rivers would be in. He'd be in hog heaven.
All right. So last night, Kansas City, and if you're a fan of the Chiefs, you're going, uh-oh, now what does this mean? I was really intrigued to hear after the game. Nice 30-6 road win over Denver. By the way, Kansas City spotless this year on the road. It's at home where they have the issues with their two losses. But it was a very upbeat locker room after the game, and basically today. Best case scenario, Patrick Mahomes, despite you know the dislocation with his right kneecap, the MRI shows no damage other than that. And you know, at the time when we're talking about prior to the MRI, that they thought he was going to miss at least three games. What's your thoughts when you heard the news earlier today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first off, like, you know, happy for him. Happy for the Chiefs, you know, because you don't ever want to see anybody get injured, right? Like, especially somebody that good, that important to the league, to everybody. So glad that, you know, he's going to be able to, you know, to return. I had a couple interesting thoughts on that game. First off, what in the world are the Broncos doing? Like, Mahomes gets hurt, and then the Chiefs outscored them 20-0 after that. Like, what? It's insane, right? Like, they couldn't even score a single point. Two, it's odd, like. The Chiefs, I completely forgot that Matt Moore was even their backup quarterback. Like, he was coaching high school football last year.
I didn't even recognize him. I didn't recognize, you know, when they would show him. I don't know if it was the, he had the facial hair, whatever's going on. I was like, Matt. And then he turned around, you go, Matt Moore? Oh, because I was checking out some college games during that same time frame. And then I'm like, look, it's like, is this the same Matt Moore?
I know.
Who knew?
It's wild. Like, at first I thought, I was like, how in the world is Andy Reid not invested in the backup quarterback position at all? But, I mean, you could tell, like you just said, like the Chiefs, you know, the players, they were upbeat, you know, all things considered. I think that they feel comfortable, you know, with Matt Moore back there in, you know, a couple games that they'll need him. You know, I still worry because the Chiefs aren't the same Chiefs from last year. That defense, you know, is not good against the run, you know, the ranked 30th. However, you know, they went from, I think, like 28th in sacks in the league last night to like fourth, you know, of all the damage that they did to the Broncos O-line. So they feel comfortable, man. We'll see how they do. They've got some tough games. I know they play the Packers, I think the Vikings, and the Titans in their next three. So we'll see, you know, how they fare out. But, yeah, I mean, all things considered, they felt, you know, pretty good about it, you know, after the win.
I go back to Atlanta, 25-point lead there in the third quarter against the Patriots in that Super Bowl. It seems like light years ago. They've gone from that to 1-5 through the first six games. Already four games out of first place behind the Saints, who have been playing in recent weeks with their backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. How is this happening? I mean, this game to me, this means the future for the Falcons if they lose at home on Sunday against the 3-3 Los Angeles Rams, who need to win themselves. By the way, Todd Gurley and Jalen Ramsey expected to play for the Rams on Sunday in this matchup. But the Rams on the road going into Atlanta, the Rams favored by 3. The Falcons, a team going nowhere fast.
Yeah, you're right. You know, glad to see that Jalen Ramsey's back injury, you know, cleared up pretty quick. Happy for him about that.
little tongue in cheek there, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, it's just funny. the Falcons, man, like, I know that they've had injuries on the defensive side, but I mean, there's no excuse for this. Like, they are one of the best teams in terms of roster talent in the NFL. And think about this. stat that I'm going to give you from a Titans perspective, okay? The Falcons, what'd you say? They're 1-5?
1-5, and there's only two other teams with longer losing streaks than Atlanta right now. Atlanta's got a four-game losing streak. The only two teams that have longer ones, the 0-5 Miami Dolphins and the 0-6 Cincinnati Bengals. That's it.
There you go. Now, think about this. They're 1-5. Matt Ryan, in every single game this season, has put up 300 or more yards. All of them. Every one of them. Think about that from a Titans perspective in terms of offensively, right? Like, the Falcons are like the opposite Titans. Their offense can score literally at will, but the other team can just do it on their defense all day long. I mean, Dan Quinn's going to be gone. We already, you know, pretty much know that. It's really just, you know, a matter of when. And we'll see what the Rams do. You know, you're right. Like, they need a win badly, but they're going to have to earn it. Like, they're going to have to put up points because Matt Ryan will show up. The offense will show up, but we, you know, we'll see how many points they can put on the Falcons' D. An interesting game, you know, to say the least.
You want to hear something disturbing?
Well, yes, obviously.
2011 draft. I mean, we look at Corey Davis, and I'm just going to put this in. And look, this is just facts, right? You can assess it any way you want. Corey Davis, fifth overall pick in the first round, right? Two years ago. Fifth overall pick. Julio Jones was a sixth pick in the first round in 2011. So Davis was picked one pick earlier than a Julio Jones was. Now, based on what you saw in the first 3 years with Julio Jones and what we have seen out of Davis, which way would you have gone in that direction?
tough call.
I mean, that's what, look, this is what you expect when somebody gets selected, by the way, fifth overall in the first round, and you're a wide receiver, you're expecting Julio Jones. That's who you're expecting.
Yeah, you are. And, you know, here's the hard part, you know, going on about that. Two things. First, John Robinson better hope that Jeffrey Simmons is a stud, because his history in the first round is not shaping up very well at all. And two, this is why I didn't mind the Rams trading that haul to the Jaguars for Jalen Ramsey, because you know what? It's tough to draft. And a lot of times, like, you could take two first-round picks and you could get two guys, and they might not be half of what Jalen Ramsey is as a player. So you go get, you know, the bona fide talent. So, yeah, man, it's hard, and it's just tough when they start to stack up a first-round guys that you're like, man, they should all be – kind of franchise-changing players, and then, you know, Corey Davis is already getting outshined by A.J. Brown already with a terrible offense.
Let me ask you this. Would you trade two – would you even hesitate, for those that would hesitate with that, would you hesitate if you said, okay, I'm going to give you two second-round picks for Jalen Ramsey?
No.
Because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Dolphins here as far as first-round selections. We're talking about one of the last teams to be picking – that they expect to be in that position for the next 2 or 3 years. So you're talking about very high second-round selections when you're picking at the tail end of the first round anyway. So when you put it in that, and when you look at it from that perspective, it totally rewrites that conversation.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. I didn't even think about that. You're right. That's a great point for sure.
All right, other games on the landscape this weekend. First, in the AFC South, you've got the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Houston Texans. A one-point favorite, the Colts are at home against the Texans. Hey, the bottom line is this going to come down to the wire. Texans 4-2, Colts 3-2. Indianapolis coming off the bye week. Sometimes you wonder about these bye weeks, whether or not, you know, rest is good. But can it? You wonder, too, like we talk about it in Major League Baseball, when teams wrap up the playoffs early and then it's time to flip the switch and get ready to go, are you quick to get raring to go and ready to go with regards to now the games count again? After being able to mentally escape it, can you flip the switch and be ready and primed to go? Houston, for me, I mean, the way Deshaun Watson's playing, although, you know, talking about somebody who should have a confidence issue, you're the way he's getting nailed left and right as far as not being able to get any kind of protection, it makes you wonder where he'll be mind-wise at the latter part of this year. But I like Houston to find a way to go in there and get it done.
Yeah, I mean, this game is so tough. I mean, I think there are two teams that at the end of the year, they're probably going to finish probably with about the exact same record, right? Like, I think that they'll finish pretty close to each other. You know, coming off of a bye, I agree completely with you. I think it helps when you're playing against a division opponent, because you know how important that it is, you know, as opposed to, say, if the Colts were playing, you know, the Bears, you know, in the NFC or something, you know, where it doesn't necessarily, you know, mean the division. I'm going to go with the Colts here. But again, like, I completely agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, there's a reason why this is a one-point line. I think it's going to be exactly that. Like, it's a coin flip who's going to win. It's going to be close down to the end.
You know, there's not many guarantees in life. I'm going to give you a guarantee in the NFL landscape coming up on Sunday. You want to know what it is?
Redskins open. No, go ahead.
No, don't. That's crazy. That's crazy talk right there. We're going to have to check your medication again if you start going there. But I guarantee you, come Monday, we're actually going to have a team in the NFC East with a winning record. Right now, there's not one single team with a winning record. Eagles, Cowboys, 3-3. Giants 2-4, Redskins 1-5. The reason why I guarantee it is because Dallas is hosting Philadelphia on Sunday.
Well played. I like the way you do it. I'm excited for this game. Like, all of the talk from, you know, Doug Peterson in terms of guaranteeing a win, and now the Cowboys players are all over that. There's a lot of yapping going back and forth. And like, these two teams even need it. You know what I mean? Like, they already hate each other. They both know what's on the line. I'm excited to watch it Sunday night. Prime time. You know, I think that this game is going to be, you know, more of, let's find out who the Cowboys really are, because, you know, they start off hot 3-0. They're on a 3-game losing streak. Like, I feel like we kind of know who Philly is. Like, you can't mess around with them, but Philly's not going to go out and just blast everybody every week. Dallas could do that if they're playing at their top level, but they're not even close to just mediocre level. Like, their offense has been conservative. It looks poor. And it's the defense. You know, last year to this year, comparatively, the defense has to step up too. So I think this is going to be a big test, more for Dallas, really, than Philly.
You want to hear something really funny? You know, How much is John Gruden making out in Oakland? Was it 10 years?
$10 a year.
Yeah, that's what I was throwing out there. You know, right now, with the fact that Oakland beat Indianapolis earlier this year in Indianapolis by 7, if the playoffs were held today, that Oakland Raiders team that everybody was making fun of would actually be a playoff team today. They would be the sixth team in the AFC. I bring it up because the Raiders, 3-2 on the season, they're going into Green Bay Sunday. The Packers, 5-1. Can the Raiders, I mean, they have to make the trip from the West Coast to the East Coast. They're 5.5-point underdogs in this game against the Packers. Can you see a situation where Oakland finds a way to get it done?
I mean, if you're going to play Green Bay, right now's the time to do it, where they're just injured everywhere at the skill position. I mean, you're going to have to go up against Aaron Rodgers, which is always tough. But you know what? I mean, they're dealing with, you know, a lot of banged up guys. So you got to give John Gruden credit, man. Like, he's a good coach for his, you know, as much as, you know, we kind of, you know, joke around about him. He's a good coach. Like, he knows what he's doing. And Oakland, by the way, is banged up everywhere. Like, they were out of wide receivers. They lost Jonathan Abram, obviously. They lost Antonio Brown. They've lost Vontaze Burfict. Like, Oakland's been through, you know, their fair share of having guys out as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough one. It's always hard to go, you know, into Lambeau and get a win. But if you're going to play Green Bay, play them right now. And never count out the Raiders, man. They're fun. I like watching it. I hope that they continue to do well. They're a fun story.
Speaking of fun, I mean, did anybody anticipate that Teddy Bridgewater would have the Saints unbeaten when he comes in and fills in while Drew Brees is getting healthier again? Now, it's a little bit tougher now with the news coming in that Alvin Kamara will not be playing on Sunday in the Saints road game against the Bears, but one of the afternoon start times, 3:25 for this one with Chicago, 3-2 on the season, hosting the 5-1 New Orleans Saints with Teddy Bridgewater still getting it done there at QB for the Saints.
It's incredible, you know, and what Teddy and the Saints have been able to do, you know, to mitigate not only, you know, risk, but any risk. Like, they're undefeated since Drew Brees went out. Like, it's fantastic. Goes to show you, you know, a lot of it's Sean Payton, and I'm not taking anything away from the players, but Sean Payton, like, this is why he gets paid big bucks. This is why teams would want him. He's a good coach, man. He knows what he's doing. So it's going to be tough, you know, now that Jared Cook, now that Alvin Kamara are both out. You've got to go on the road to Chicago. But, you know, Chicago hasn't exactly been the Bears, you know, that we saw last year. Think about this. They've got Mitch Trubisky coming back off of injury this week. But the Chicago Bears haven't had a single game of 300 yards of offense once. They haven't done it once. So, you know, they're fifth or sixth worst in the NFL in terms of points scored. So it'll be smart. I bet New Orleans tries to play a lot of, you know, possession game, clock management, you know, field position. And really, if they can avoid, you know, any big turnovers, you know, by the Bears defense, New Orleans has a shot in it because Chicago's only putting up, what, 15, 16 points a game? It hasn't been pretty.
No, not at all. Another game that really has caught my attention for Sunday. I'm still not all in on Baltimore right now, and maybe that's on me. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm just still playing the wait and see game. But they're 4-2. But who I am buying in right now is Russell Wilson, who right now would be, if you were handing out the MVP today, he would be this year's MVP in the NFL. But hey, that's six games. There's still 10 more games to be played. But the Seahawks at home, 5-1 on the season. Their only loss, by the way, was at home as they host Baltimore, making the trip from the East Coast to the West Coast. The Ravens 4-2. Anticipate another close game. Seahawks favored by 3.5 in this one. I just think that how about this other stat? The Seahawks 5-1 record. It's only the third time in franchise history they've gotten off to a 5-1 start. I expect it to be 6-1 after Sunday.
It could be, and you're right. The last time they did it was, well, I believe, 2014 when they went to the Super Bowl. I think it's gonna be a close game. You're looking at two teams that love to run the football. Obviously, Baltimore with their quarterback. Seattle with Chris Carson. I mean, what Russell Wilson has done this year, like if you look at his stats, overall in his entire career so far, like it this year would be first. Like he is essentially perfect. Like he has had an incredible season. They should have lost to Cleveland. They were down 20-6, and Seattle's the last team that you want to let hang around. But yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a close game. I think most of Seattle's wins have been, 1, 2, 3, 4 points. Like they've all generally been pretty close. And I'm with you. I don't know what to think yet of Baltimore. I think they're, an above average team. That if they get up on you, they can play a little D, and if Lamar Jackson has, some points to play with, he can attack, a defense that can't play aggressive. But if they're down, it's hard to come back when you have a running quarterback, So I'm interested to see this game. I think it's going to be pretty tight. Probably one of those games that you'd take the under.
By the way, Miami, they're 0-5, still not really looking for their first win because I don't really think they want one. They're going into Buffalo to take on the 4-1 Buffalo Bills. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're 0-6. They host Jacksonville on Sunday. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, which team or if both could actually go 0-16 this year. It's not possible. Now, they could go 0-15-1. But they actually play each other the next to last week of the season in Miami on December 22nd.
Please tell me that's not a Monday night game.
No.
No.
And it's not going to be moved to prime time either. Don't expect that.
Oh, we're not flexing that one in?
No, you're not. That's not going to be flexed. If anything, it'd be flexed to where the internet or something where nobody watches it.
I saw somebody say a stat. They were talking about a Dolphins game getting flexed or something. And somebody on Twitter said the Dolphins should be flexed to the Cartoon Network. I'm with you. Like, I didn't know that they played each other towards the end. Miami is going, what, you said to Buffalo. I think they're, what, 17-point dogs to the Buffalo Bills, who generally score about 17 points a game. Buffalo is the only team in the NFL that they haven't had a single game hit the over this year. And you wonder, is this a game to do it? It's wild. Buffalo is going to win. That's going to be one of the ugliest games that we'll see all year. There's no way that game's pretty.
In soccer, where you do, if you're a lousy team gets moved to a league below and vice versa, you get the promotion. There's talks right now with the SEC and the ACC with the NFL, where the Dolphins, if that continues, would flop and trade places with either Alabama in the SEC or Clemson in the ACC next year.
Well, I'll tell you, they should probably go to the ACC because they stick them in the SEC West. That's four losses right there.
You're awful. You're terrible. As always, we enjoy our chats with you. Certainly looking forward to talking to you again on Monday as we recap everything as far as the Week 7 of the NFL and then get you ready for Monday Night Football as well as my New York Jets with Sam Darnold back from mono taking on Tom Brady and the Patriots. But until then, let everybody know what they can expect from CBS Sportsline.
Yeah, definitely, man. Sportsline.com. If you're big into betting games, and we're going to simulate each game 10,000 times, and more than football, baseball, UFC, you name it. We're going to kind of grade the bets for you, give you some good picks there, and even if you're not, you just like a good statistical analysis, a deeper look inside the games and trends. Check it out. So just go to Sportsline.com, click around. I assure you, it's something different. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, we thank you as always, Alan. We'll talk again Monday, but until then, have a wonderful weekend.
You as well, my friend. Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Alan Bell once again joining us with CBS Sportsline. This segment brought to you by friends with Penn Station East Coast Subs. Check them out. Locations to serve you in Hermitage. Also, the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For October, try the Philly Cheesesteak Sub with chips and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Strike Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Strike Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Strike Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football. It's a heavyweight showdown from Happy Valley as the 7th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions host the 16th-ranked Michigan Wolverines. Hi, it's Greg Daniels. Join Tiki Barber and me for all the action as these two Big Ten powerhouses collide. Can Sean Clifford and Penn State remain perfect on the year, or will Shea Patterson and Michigan earn a tough road victory? It's Penn State and Michigan. If it's college football, it's right here.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Jay Henson. Still coming up this hour, Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, veteran sports columnist, on tap tonight. First of all, got Game 5. As far as the American League Championship Series, Houston one win away, up 3-1. This game, bottom of the first, all tied up, one apiece as far as this one. Houston, one more win, will be taking on the Washington Nationals with regards to the World Series. But Game 5 going on right now. As far as the college football landscape, four games in action tonight. A little bit later on, Ohio State a ranked team in action as they're ranked fourth. They're on the road taking on Northwestern. Ohio State favored by 27.5 in this one. Also in the ACC, a game that's in the first quarter, 5:14 to go in the first quarter with Pitt leading Syracuse 3-0. Don't forget tomorrow morning, start your morning off with the prep football talk from 8 to 9. Greg Pogue along with Greg Pogue along with Craig Ladd and Coach Bubba Spears as they recap all the action. What week nine of the high school landscape.
Two more weeks.
And then from 10 to noon tomorrow morning, our countdown to kickoff tailgate show. As far as the high school landscape tonight, Innsworth is off tonight. They'll be back in action again next week. But when we look at some of the area games on tap, a couple really catch my eye almost immediately. Page 6-1 on the year, taking on Columbia down in Murray County. Columbia 5-2 on the season, Jay. And how about a nice game over in Lebanon tonight? Lebanon 4-3 hosting the 6-1 Stewart's Creek High School squad.
Yeah, number 10 team in the state, and Amari Jelks has done a really good job running for a running back for Stewart's Creek, and I think that team is looking really, really good coming in with the playoffs coming up, and they're ranked for the first time in their history in Class 6A. They started out in 5A a couple of years ago. And then you got Brentwood and Franklin, one of the biggest rivalries in all the state, and that one's going to be a barn burner. Doesn't matter what the records look like, even though Franklin's 3-4, Brentwood might be 6-1 and in the top 10 in the state, it's still going to be a ball game.
Oakland, by the way, they're 7-0 on the season. They've also won 7 straight in their rivalry game down in Rutherford County as they host Riverdale. But 7 straight over Riverdale. They're 7-0 on the season. Riverdale comes into this matchup 5-2, 3-1 in the region. Oakland 4-0 in the region. Riverdale needs to have some things happen favorably, maybe some turnovers early. Because this looks like all Oakland to me.
Yep, and a little history for you, Johnny. I know you moved in 86, but before then, there used to be a team called Murfreesboro Central High.
I remember that.
Central High School. And that's where Riverdale and Oakland came from. They split in the 80s and became those two teams, and that's the old Murfreesboro Central, just a little FYI.
All right, coming up, a chance to talk some college football and more. Steve Eubanks, good friend, best-selling author, veteran sports columnist. We'll talk football, golf, and more. He's got an interesting article he's working on the anniversary of the loss of Payne Stewart in that plane crash. And we'll get into that conversation with Steve about that. Also talk about the state of the union as far as if you're a sports fan in the Atlanta area, knowing how the Braves season did not end the way they want, the struggles with the Falcons, the fact that the Georgia Bulldogs, third year is the charm. It still could be, but got a big blow last week, losing at home to South Carolina. Steve Eubanks, also a Georgia grad. We'll get into this conversation with him coming up right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash Play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
It's summer, y'all, and you know the drill. It's time to stay chill and get your fill of all the cool games that you'd like to see. The August Instant Ones from Tennessee. You could scratch a blackjack for just a dollar, win 20 grand on a payday multiplier. Big Orange Eights could take your cash even higher, but not like $1 million mega multiplier. That's no joke. These are the ones, the August Instant games that are tons of fun. Brand new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just play responsibly.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. high school sports, there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade, co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For tonight, clear skies, low upper 40s, east-southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Slight chance of an afternoon shower tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny and mild, high 73. Slight chance of showers Saturday night, low 54. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. And right now, it's always fun visiting with our next guest, Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, 30-plus books to his credit, including a couple, in fact, the last two involving Arnold Palmer before he passed away, veteran sports columnist as well, now doing his daily work with the Global Golf Post. We'll talk more about that, too, in our visit with Steve. A chance to talk college football, the landscape if you're a fan of the Bulldogs, and just a sports fan in general in the Atlanta area. Steve, as always, we appreciate you, sir. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Johnny, and I appreciate you bringing that up on perhaps the most miserable week ever to be a Georgia sports fan.
I go back, and you can't help but feel sorry. I mean, I go back with the Atlanta Falcons up by 25 late in the third, blowing a Super Bowl. I'm a huge fan, been a fan all my life of the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, certainly they made more headway this year than last year as far as the playoff. I think next year is the year. I expect, and honestly, a World Series flag over the next two, three, four seasons with this Atlanta Braves team, especially if they can get resolved their pitching rotation. But here we are, third year is a charm with the Georgia Bulldogs. So close 2 years ago, had a lead in overtime against Bama. Last team out as far as the college football playoff last year. If they were five, they would be in. They were not. This year, look, to me, it could be 2017 all over again when they lose to Auburn. Everybody just thought that, well, that's it. Instead, they have a rematch, win the SEC title game, and make it all the way to overtime before losing to Bama in the national title game.
That is possible. The problem, that loss to Auburn was not a terrible loss. This loss to South Carolina was just an ugly loss. I mean, the fact that you lost to an inferior team is one thing. To have looked that bad doing it, it was stunning that it was as close as it was. But you just sort of got the sense that doom was on the horizon at every point, in every critical turn of that game. Even when they had a chance to win it, on the final play, or at least to tie it up and take it to another overtime, you just got the sense nothing has gone right. Why should this?
Well, and it's interesting. This year we get the two bye weeks first, so every team out there, instead of your normal one, you're getting two. And you know, if there's slip ups, I go back to Auburn. You know, having to start the year with six straight games. Well, they had a stretch where they went to Texas A&M. I expected to win there. They return home against Mississippi State, got a W there. But then you're kind of asking for too much mentally, knowing then you had to go on the road to Florida, so they slip up. I'm looking at Georgia, and so they beat Notre Dame, get the bye week, beat Tennessee, although, you know, Tennessee played well for the first 25 minutes of that game in Knoxville. I'm thinking no mental reasons why Georgia at home should have stumbled against South Carolina.
I know. And you know, you sort of saw it coming in that they weren't as crisp in the Tennessee game as people would have liked or expected. Everybody talked about the offensive line dominating. Well, they don't dominate until middle to late in the fourth quarter. There really was never any domination of the front line early on against some teams that you really should have been able to reestablish the line of scrimmage and kind of push them around a little bit. And the Dawgs just haven't been able to do that. This was supposed to be their strength, and they just haven't performed up to expectations at this point. Now, is that to say that they won't come out and look like an NFL team later? No, it's not. They certainly have the skill positions. They've certainly got a great quarterback. But, look, they're to the point now where there is no more margin for error. They've got to win out.
Having a chance once again to visit with Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, veteran sports columnist. As far as other things that have caught your attention this year, it's interesting when you go back to 2011 and here we are 8 years later and it has a chance to maybe happen again with regards to an Alabama-LSU matchup. But the reason why we're not talking yet about a nighttime game in Tuscaloosa when these two teams meet, because I think everybody's smart enough to realize that before we get to that game, the potential is there for Auburn to go into Baton Rouge next Saturday and beat LSU next Saturday afternoon.
There is. Look, I've watched every team in the country that's in the top echelon right now. LSU might be the best I've seen. I mean, I keep looking for a weakness, and it's just a different LSU team. I mean, when they first came out with that spread offense and were throwing the ball around, everybody was just shocked. But now that you're had a few weeks to look at it, you should have been able to adjust to it. And they just haven't been able to. I mean, they are still executing at an incredibly high level. And look, defensively, they're pretty strong, too. I've seen some pass rush on the corners. I've seen some linebacker play that's been incredibly impressive. So I'm a really big LSU fan right now. I'm very high on them to not just win the West, but perhaps win it all.
Well, despite all the points they're scoring, and they've done the 315 points, it's the most in school history through the first six games. But how about the fact that Alabama has something they can do tomorrow that only Alabama has done? They did it last year, and that's the fact that they're in a position to score 45 points, in six straight games. And they did it last year. No other team in history has ever done that. And so they go from 62 against New Mexico State, 47 against South Carolina, 49 against Southern Miss, 59 against Ole Miss. And then last year, the 47, I mean, LSU was held to 42 twice this year in back-to-back games, the last two contests against Utah State and Florida.
Yeah, I mean, look, Alabama is playing incredible offense and defense, as they always do. But, you know, it's methodical. It's systematic with Alabama. They're going through their routines and doing and playing the game that you're always and have been accustomed to watching them play. There's dynamic players on that team, no doubt, but I am waiting for the LSU matchups and the Auburn matchups and those late season matchups to really give this team some challenges.
Well, we're looking at that, I mean, for several of these teams, and like the Big Ten's going to play itself out, especially when, you know, whether you pick your poison. I love stats, by the way, and I threw this out earlier in the show because everybody can talk Alabama, Clemson, you know, the Ohio States of the world. I love the other stories in the college football landscape that sometimes gets unnoticed or not really fully recognized, like a Minnesota team. You know, now they've got a winning streak. They've won eight straight. It ties their school record. You have to go back to 1948 and 49, the last time a Minnesota team has won eight straight. And, oh, by the way, they should better that tomorrow, as they are a four-touchdown favorite against Rutgers tomorrow.
I'm so looking forward to watching teams that I never thought I would look forward to watching. You know, I'm loving watching Wisconsin. I'm loving watching Minnesota. I mean, teams that were normally just grinded out sort of, farmhand football. Now they're really fun to watch.
Well, it's like Wake Forest. I was so hoping, and they almost pulled it off. They were down big to Louisville, and they got into one of these amazing shootouts last week, and they still end up falling to Louisville. But they had, like, you know, one of the top winning streaks in all of college football until last week before they lost to Louisville, and they were ranked in the top 25. And so it's fun talking about, like I said, the Minnesotas, the Wake Forest of the world. And I mean, I like the job Arizona State, what Herm Edwards is doing. This team, a field goal away when they lost to Colorado, this team could be unbeaten right now going in their matchup this week against Utah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you would have never thought it from Arizona State. But, again, a lot of times it's just getting the right dynamic leader in there, and there's no doubt Herm Edwards is it.
I was doing something else, too. I was reflecting back over the last 15 years, teams that have played for the national title, not just the ones that have won it, but the ones that have played for it. And, you know, going into last weekend, we're talking about, what, 95% of those teams still relevant today. The only exceptions, you can throw Florida State in that mix. So certainly, you know, has gone south with regards to that. But for the most part, we're talking about you look at who's in the top, you know, 15 or 20 right now, and it's the same teams other than, you know, like I said, USC, although they're certainly playing better football, but they've had, you know, major issues at quarterback this year as far as injuries. But Florida State, USC, those are the two lone exceptions dating back over the last two decades.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? I mean, you look back to all of the winning programs and success, just continues to breed success. I mean, you look at the recruiting classes every year. You look at the winning records every year. You look at where the talent continues to flock, and it's becoming a smaller and smaller pool of teams.
You want to hear something funny? Missouri, finally, you know, they lose the opening week to Wyoming, but since then they reeled off, you know, these consecutive wins. So they're 5-1 going into this matchup tomorrow against Vanderbilt. And so finally they get ranked in the top 25 this week. And I threw it out there. You know, basically, here's a team. I mean, right now they're in first place in the East by themselves. They can even slip up against either Georgia or Florida in the month of November, still win the East. And if they pull a surprise in the title game, we're talking about a Missouri team that could be one of the four playoff teams. Who would have had that circled?
Yeah, I don't see any of those scenarios playing out, but you're right. Theoretically, it's possible at this stage.
Well, you say that, but, you know, we look at when Missouri's schedule is, I mean, they play four games, get a bye week. Play four games, get a bye week. Well, the next time they get the bye week, they get the 2 weeks rest before they take on Georgia, and then they get Florida the following week. Well, remember, they get Georgia after what? Georgia has just got through playing Florida in Jacksonville, and then they play the Florida Gators that, you know, have the two games before they have to travel to Columbia to take on Missouri. With Kelly Bryant in that offense, I mean, we're talking about a team that for, what, 11 straight games, they've scored 31 or more points. I don't know if both Georgia and Florida will get wins against Missouri. I can see where Missouri splits that, but I don't see where they lose both of those games. Mainly it's just because of the way the schedule plays out.
You know, that's possible. I'm not going to say probable. I'm going to say possible. I would still have to pick both Georgia and Florida in those games. But look, I mean, you're right. Missouri is still playing well, but I think Georgia and Florida are still the two best teams in the East, and that the East is going to come down to that game in Jacksonville.
All right. Before we let you go, you know, I was talking about all the work that you do with a Global Golf Post, and I know that on Tuesday, 20th anniversary of the Payne Stewart plane crash, and it seems like yesterday, and it was such a bizarre story. I know you wanted to have a chance and opportunity to talk about that. Here's your opportunity.
Yeah, I actually have a story coming out in Global Golf Post on Tuesday about a retrospective on the Payne Stewart story, and it's going back to that day and just how we were all wrapped up in that moment as the entire nation watched this plane with all the passengers that had passed away on it, flying, streaking across the Midwest, and everyone's guessing, where is it going to come down? Is it going to hit in a city? Is it going to, you know, everybody knew it was going to crash, and before the day was out, everybody knew that Payne Stewart was on it. He was the defending U.S. Open champion. He'd been one of the heroes of the Ryder Cup just a few weeks earlier, and it was really bizarre. And so to go back and look at everything that happened that day, and then that week, because the Tour Championship was being held that week in Houston, Texas, I think it's going to provide some memories and a retrospective and a different perspective than a lot of people who remember it had.
Steve, as always, we appreciate you. I value your friendship, certainly respect all that you do. I thank you again for taking time out with us, and hope you have a wonderful weekend, and good luck to your Bulldogs the rest of the way.
Thanks, Johnny. Good to talk to you.
All right, Steve. Thank you again. That's Steve Eubanks, best-selling author, 30-plus books to his credit, and veteran sports columnist. Once again, you can check out his work with Global Golf Post. Coming up, we'll wrap things up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter's coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Coming this Christmas, a man.
Hey, Bill King here.
His listeners.
Robin, the 210.
And Biscuits.
I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are to have Music City, Todd. That is a world-class facility.
Winter is coming.
Commitments 2019. Wednesday, December 18th at Barline in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue South, downtown Nashville.
We appreciate you. Appreciate WNSR.
Join the Bill King Show and celebrate Nashville. National Signing Day.
Oh my God, Bill King just read my tweet.
For more info and commitments gear, log on to WNSR.com and get your special commitments rate at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Commitments 2019 from the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show, and WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter is coming!
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Hello,
I'm Coach Bubba Spear.
And I'm Craig Light.
And I'm Greg Pogue, and we're inviting you to join us every Saturday morning at 8 for the 8th season of Prep Football Talk right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
That's right. Every Saturday morning, we'll get you caught on the action from the previous Friday night game.
And interview one of the top football prospects in the Mid-State and their head coach.
Plus, we'll take a trip down memory lane with our Prep Football Legend of the Week.
Prep Football Talk is brought to you by Freeman Webb, Nissan of Cool Springs, U.S. Army, Sam's Place and Sports Grills, Long's Insurance, and Speedway Motors.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson. Just a reminder, it's football season, right? So tailgating going on, viewing parties, and more. Here's the thing, if you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But on average, a DUI can set you back $10,000. It can also cost you your life. So remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Eric Bacharach, he covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. You can get in touch with him at 800-400-9741. Also, Trey Scott, National Editor of College Football Coverage with 24/7 Sports. And then earlier this hour, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline talking Week 7 of the NFL and best-selling author, veteran sports columnist with Global Golf Post, Steve Eubanks. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, you can start your morning off from 8 to 9 with Prep Football Talk with Greg Pogue, along with Craig Ladd, Coach Bubba Spears, as they recap Week 9 of the high school football landscape. And then tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to noon, another installment of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show hosted by me, as we do each and every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. A couple of my guests tomorrow includes Joe Fisher, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, around 10:20. Also around 11:35, Bob Kessling, the voice of Tennessee, joins us from Tuscaloosa. We'll be looking at the top 25, SEC, other involvement in as far as games on the college landscape, and more. Also, scoreboard updates with hour number two with those early kickoffs. As always, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate our sponsors making it possible as well. For Jay Henson, Johnny Ballpark Franks, I hope you have an incredible night, everybody. Incredible weekend as well. And we'll be back with you as far as our Monday through Friday show. Back again on Monday afternoon at 4. Have a wonderful weekend, and do us both a favor and make it count.